Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast, Two Johnnies Podcast, Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 125, coming to you like a girl drinking Smirnoff Ice, bursting it out of it on a nightclub dance floor to Cascadas.
Every time we touch...
Yeah. On this week's podcast, Your One More Time, we revisit a topic we discussed exactly 100 episodes ago, the drink. And we ask if our hangovers are actually getting worse as we get older.
And his neighbour's children have to wear bulletproof vests if they want to play outside. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
She teaches us about things that we really, really don't need to know about. But Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as lifting small children over the turnstiles at GAA matches, we round off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts for the week.
I actually, up to like 2 years ago, had a fight nearly with a fella on the door going to a GAA match in Gortonbridge one time.
Go on.
He wasn't letting me in for less than a tenner to a Junior B match. I was like, they should be paying me a tenner to watch this shit. Anyway, before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Junior B is a sport of kings.
Yes, I agree, but not much of a spectacle. Playing is enjoyable.
Okay, anyway, Random Bits Anonymous said, back in 2018, when you were playing a gig for our local GA club in Wexford, my friend's mother saw a rather large poster of the two of you on it on an old back road. She thought it would be a right idea to take the poster and throw it in the boot. 2 years on, and it's now hanging up in my friend's shed. And any time we sesh on, it's a tradition for everyone to line up and get a picture taken with the two of you. And it was, of course, Bano Balnamitty.
Was it?
Yeah, Wellington Bridge.
We also robbed a sign.
Yeah. I have the exact same one out in the shed.
Yeah, that's where it is.
It's massive.
In fairness,
we're actually about life size, isn't it?
It was so funny because that was like one of the first gigs that we ever got booked for, back when we used to be doing like fundraisers and stuff when we started. And everyone was like, oh, we couldn't take the risk on us or whatever. And this club did, and they sold it out. And we must have done 10 more gigs in Wexford off the back of it.
Every club in Wexford was ringing, but her day made money.
It was fair funny, though. We were like, it's such professionals. After the gig, we stopped on some back road and robbed our own sign. I was like, if anybody sees us doing this, we'll look fair bad. Kevin sent us in this one. Hey lads, Kevin here from Cork, living in Australia. Here's a subject for you to talk about after my disgusting experience at work. I call it rotten shit that happens at work that no one knows about. Catchy name, Kevin.
Nice.
Catchy name. Anyway, what happened to me at work this week was a first experience, and only my wife was told about this because I wouldn't tell anyone at work. But it made me wonder what stuff goes on at work that no one ever tells their colleagues. Anyway, the story. I was in work Monday morning, a bit hungover, so I needed a good caffeine fix. I went to the community kitchen to make myself a cup of coffee to get the day going. No one else was there, thank fuck, because I wasn't in the mood for shy talk. As the kettle was boiling, I went to the toilet to blow my nose, as I had a bit of a cold. So I went back to finish the cup of coffee, opened up the jar to take a spoon out, and a big dry snot, about half an inch, fell out of my nose, right into the communal coffee jar. This snot was that big and heavy that when it hit the coffee, it actually sunk away and disappeared, and I had to search with my teaspoon to retrieve it. I dug the meteor rock out and put some snot-free coffee in my mug and fucked out of the kitchen. As mentioned earlier, thank fuck no one was there, as it is quite a busy kitchen and a few people can be waiting at the same time to make a cup. No wonder COVID has taken all over the world. So what other disgusting stuff happens at work? I'm sure you get a few decent stories. I don't know, will we get many more stories in that are as disgusting as that, Kevin. I hope not. Did he throw the coffee?
Yeah, come on.
You got
boom was back. Throw the coffee.
The boom was back, lad. You got to throw that coffee out. But nonetheless, listeners, send us in disgusting stuff that happens at work. We want to know. We're some sort of sickos.
Last week's topic of farming. Liam was in touch saying, the whole premise of farming is a load of shit. Businesses buy goods at a wholesale costs, do something with said goods and sell it at retail price. Farmers buy rations, fertilizer, equipment, etc. at a retail price. We then produce beef or milk and are at the mercy of the factories or the milk plants to take the shit price that they give us. Don't make much sense to me, yet I still go back and become a farmer, even though I have the intellect to grab a top job with handy hours. This is because of the Stockholm syndrome that is farming. Hardship in the gutter and misery. Milking cows and fighting with your father because you're both cranky as shit from the torture. Yet I love working with cows, driving tractors, milking cows and tearing around in a 97 Land Cruiser Prado loaded up to the bollocks. Now that is raw farming, Liam.
Farming's a way of life, man. It's a calling, I think.
It's calling.
Yeah, you got to be just into it.
You have to be born to it.
Yeah, born to it. That's the only way to do it.
Born to farm.
As Craig Davis said, lad, born to do it.
Born to farm.
Danny, that was the name of his album. Danny, yeah, just start throwing in.
I know. Swap banter. You love that album. Go on.
Danny messages, lads, just listen to this morning's pod and the topic of farmers. I have a story about working for a contractor down here in Wexie and the pure cowboy this man is. He has a part-time lorry driver who works 3 days a week. On one of the driver's days off, my boss, let's just call him John, who was about 70 at the time, turns and says to me, Dan, we have to bring a load of straw out to a lad down near Gorey direction there. Come on and we load the bales. We loaded the lorry anyways and he just turns to me and says, here, do you have a license? Me being 16 at the time says, ah, John, I only have a tractor license. Why? And he says, well, honestly, I don't have a fucking license for this yoke. So like you are about as qualified to drive this as I am. Will you drive? So I may or may not have driven a 28-foot rigid lorry around 15 miles down the road at 16 years of age with 33 bales loaded onto it. Wild. But my story does not stop there. The farmer we went to, his loader was in bean service, which meant we had no way of unloading the straw. So I ended up having to climb up and push him off the lorry by hand. Jesus. That was grand all up until I let a shout at my boss to move out of the way when I was about to throw one off. And he roared back, grand, fire away, so. And I did. Lobbed the bale off, but the next thing you know, the bale that has fallen from about 15 foot height clipped my 70-year-old boss and knocked him out cold.
Farm accidents are no joke.
You know what I mean? Listen, farm safety is a real thing. But like, he did give him due warning.
I love talking about contractors. Any of our mates who work for farmers are like, are you driving for him? Some bastards. Fair miserable bastards, that crowd. Everyone is like, bastards. Did you get the dinner? I know I got a good feed.
Yeah.
But other than that, bastards. He'd flog you, that fella.
Oh, I love it.
Slavery, pure torture. On last week's More is Mystery topic about lingerie.
Can I just say on lingerie, you know the way it's spelt?
Yeah.
For years I call it lingerie.
That's fine, that's how it's spelt.
Yeah. I'm not afraid to admit it.
I love to see a woman in lingerie.
Yeah, jeez, I was down in the lingerie section. Honestly, I swear to you, I think it was like 3 years ago I said it and like someone was like, what? It's lingerie. Why don't they spell it like that?
I don't know.
I am on a rant today.
If you invented the spelling of lingerie, text us. One listener said about Johnny B saying, don't be wearing granny knickers. My housemates and I had a bit of a trick for this. It sounds like the biggest passion killers of all time. Wearing two pairs of knickers, right? So we would wear the big Bridget Jones knickers to tuck in all the wobbly bits, but something a little bit sexier underneath. Once you'd met your match and knew things were game on, you'd nip to the toilets, slip off the granny knicks and pop them in your handbag. This was what we thought foolproof until my housemate forgot to take the granny knickers off in the nightclub one night and only realised when she was back at the house. To cut a long story short, the Bridget Jones knickers were found in the bread bin some days later.
The bread bin?
What, might you have been chatting and your man left the room? She must have had to whip him off.
Why do you have a bread bin in his room?
In the... Oh, must have been in the kitchen.
Beside his bed, he's got a toaster and a bread bin.
Yeah, I don't like sharing with the boys.
Man needs toast.
Remember the lad who had a bag of spuds in his room?
Yeah, yeah. This must be a running team in this podcast. Granny, yeah. Jesus. Two pairs of knickers got to be uncomfortable.
Maura, would you ever chance this approach, the two knickers approach?
Yeah. The Spanx and a thong underneath. So, yeah, probably for a wedding.
Are you serious, Maura?
Yeah. If you're wearing a fitted dress, yeah, you'd wear control underwear. Spanx are fairly comfortable as long as you don't buy them in a size too small.
I honestly cannot imagine putting on a pair of like underpants and then pulling up a pair of boxers over it. Like,
should they just be like tight shorts?
I don't know, me captain be sweating, lad. You'd be under severe pressure. Another listener said on the same topic, I'm not usually one to give out, but fucking hell, Maura's topic struck a chord this week. As a female in my 20s, I've a lot to say on the matter of lingerie.
Lingerie.
Apologies in advance for this ominous rant, but the men of Ireland need to be made aware of the utter torture they're putting us ladies through.
Okay.
Not meaning to sound vain or vulgar here, but I'm always getting asked by guys to wear something sexy or put on a kinky outfit.
Yeah, me too, so... It's not a big deal. Go on.
I was wondering why you had all those leather chains hanging over you.
Get requests, go on.
The thing is, I actually have a huge collection of G-strings, lacy underwear, suspenders, stocking, and kinky and sexy bras. A collection I've proudly built up and added to over the years. Your listeners are going to think I'm a right ponce here, but I mostly buy my lingerie from the likes of Victoria's Secret, Debenhams, and Marks. And I'm sure by Marks she means Marks and Sparks. I just feel sexier and more comfortable in the luxurious quality stuff. Don't get me wrong, I have things from Pennies too, but the cheaper bras are itchy, uncomfortable and basically shite. While affordable, you'd get one decent wear out of them and they become ill-fitting in my experience. But then, when I do splurge on a pair of nice lingerie for a man, they show no appreciation. One situation comes to mind where I bought a matching cream lace bra and fancy silk thong set in Debenhams for a romantic night. Bra aside, the thong on its own cost €16. And no word of a lie, I had it on for all of 5 minutes before it was viciously ripped off me. Literally, she has in brackets here. Wow, it's getting hot and steamy. I'd say he couldn't even tell you the colour of it. The session was hot and steamy, but my God, I was nearly in tears afterwards when I saw my new knickers in shreds on the floor.
Oh.
Of course, I never mentioned it, but I was sad the set was ruined in one foul swoop. Sadly, this was not a one-off event. This happens a lot. So much money spent, so many knickers lost. Thanks, Maura, for giving me this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to mourn my lost knickerses. I've been bottling up all this anger and grief for many years now, and I finally have the opportunity to purge all my pent-up sorrow.
You need to tell that man, whoa, easy now. Easy.
I'm like, whoa, live off the hand.
Whoa, easy now. Live off. Whoa.
There's some animals out there. I don't think I'd have the strength to rip the tongue off.
Yeah, like, the good quality ones, what are they made out of at all?
I feel like I'd scare her, like, if you were like, oh, come on, give me off that joke.
Whoa, relax. Another listener said,
yeah, suck.
Another listener on the topic of lingerie, I tell any woman, if her man wants her to dress to the nines in lingerie, he should buy it. I love lingerie and Rihanna's new line, Savage X Fenty. It sounds like a hedge car.
Stop calling it lingerie, lad. We're going for lingerie.
Okay. Anyway, Rihanna's line has beautiful pieces for women of every size. I think it's empowering, but only if the woman wants to do it. Sometimes people just get lazy in the bedroom, and that's fine. It won't be fiery 24/7. I was so tired last night, I did not have the energy to go down, if you know what I mean. So I just...
Down under, lad.
She didn't have the energy to go to the land down under. Wait for this, though, Smacks. So I just whipped out my wand, full power, and it did the job within 10 seconds. No complaints. He was actually quite shocked. Ladies, if you're tired, use your vibrator or wand on your man. It sounds weird, but I've had very positive feedback, and it's used in the front, not the back. Never use a vibrator in the back. The silence in the studio is deafening.
What? Why don't you start rubbing a dildo off your man's willy?
And it made him ejaculate. I have never experienced
He's
this.
Definitely the same lad who ripped the tongue off the last girl, let's say.
What?
That must be weird, like rubbing a willy. Like,
I don't know. Yeah,
like, I wouldn't rub my willy off your willy, you know.
Well, I should hope not.
Yeah, but no, but I don't. I just mean, like,
you know what I mean? We haven't had the stag yet. Hands possible.
That's
what happens on stag.
But, like, how would you, like?
I don't know. I don't know the mechanics of it. Anonymous.
I mean, I don't want to ask for a video.
I need a diagram.
I'm going to have to need something, yeah.
I want a PowerPoint presentation.
And, like, obviously never use a vibrator in the back. Like, unless you like that.
But yeah, see, there you go. There's no obviously's anymore.
You can do you know what? Do you know what I've learned from this? Lingerie is pronounced slingery, and lads like vibrators nowadays. Wow, I tell you one thing. This podcast.
Go on.
On Round Dodgers, let's get back to something, yeah, you know, a little bit more to Johnny style.
Paul O'Connell, pints, fighting.
Yeah, bit lads.
Tractors, go on.
An anonymous listener said, "Dear Johnny's, don't mention my name on this one. On a similar note to people dodging the round, there's an infamous couple in their 50s or 60s in Mayo that have become fond of appearing at weddings uninvited to scab a free dinner. They would visit a different hotel every weekend, all dressed up just to chance their arm at a free bit of grub. They got away with it for a couple of years and gained the nickname Beef or Salmon for themselves. After getting found out, they've now been barred from most hotels in the county."
Gas!
I commend them.
How do you want you to sit down with a table full of strangers and try and make conversation? Oh yeah, I know the groom.
Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn, the Wedding Crashers. But this is based on a couple in their 50s or 60s. Listen, everybody needs something to live for in their life. Why not crash weddings as a middle-aged couple?
Another listener said, "The segment on miserable bastards who dodge rounds just got me irate. I have one about a notorious fella in our group. We call him Dan, and you'll see why."
Dan!
He's not seeing me. Dan, to put him in perspective, I'll start by saying, he once tried to convince us that women respect you if you don't pay for the first date. Maura, I can hear a sharp intake of breath there.
I think Maura just jabbed something into her jugular.
What a prank.
It goes without saying he's single. So a few of us went to Japan last year for the rugby. Shared accommodation, eating the same meals. Obviously a powerful amount of drink between us. But one lad is always last to buy his round. Or worse again, he would nearly make shapes to leave for home when he'd be up to buy. Oh my God. We'd politely, genuinely say, "Sure, we'll stay for one more." This went on for nearly 6 weeks. Anyway, the last match we had tickets for, fairly shook from the night before, and we were cutting it tight even to make it into the stadium on time. We were about to buy a round when I suggested, "Get two, save anyone having to go back to the bar so quickly from the seats." I was fairly delicate still and couldn't handle the pints, so I got two whiskies, highballs as they're aptly named, and the boys a pint and a highball. I bought the first round, and one of the other boys said he'll get the second. Having not said a word when it came to who'd buy it after that, it had been decided our miserable buddy pipes up, "Yeah, you buy a round, I won't." What? When I think back on it, it wasn't even greeted with any real surprise when we headed up to our seats. Inside the stadium, there are loads of Heineken women who carry around rucksacks full of cans on their back and are a readily available source of Heineken, if that's what you're after.
That's a wet dream for a country man.
I was at the Ireland-New Zealand game. So handy. People going around selling cans. So with the two highballs, I naturally finished first and got a flyer for myself by way of a can, waiting for the lads to catch up. As the match tipped near halftime, the third of the four of us got his round. The way things usually worked, Dan, still nursing. So we've all bought one at this stage, apart from the notoriously manfecker. Needs to be taken into consideration that we're on holidays in Japan over a month. No one is shitting money by now, but can't exactly be complaining about being poor either. He can afford a shagging round. Bit of a standoff. Nobody says anything, but none of the lads who bought rounds are getting up to get the next one. Essentially, there's a period where we're all buying flyers individually from the Heineken women, except Dan, of course. Eventually, he gets up and heads down the steps towards the bar shop's toilet area. There's a name on that, but I can't think of it. There was actually suspense in the air, as we were nearly taking bets between the three of us. Was he going to the Jacks? Was he getting around? Had he found a halftime treat on Tinder? Did not know that was a thing at rugby games. Lo and behold, we see Dan coming back up the stairs in a display that's nearly ballsy. It was so miserable. He rocks up with a solitary can of cider in his hand. The three of us were absolutely dumbfounded. Truth be told, we never properly called him up on it. He himself is in total denial about it anyway. I think he feels he's actually playing us for fools every time and that we don't get it. Only thing to actually come out of this is he's now saved in my phone as Dan Frank and only ever referred to that when he's not in the conversation. I'm not from Tip, but I do like riding. Thoroughly enjoying the podcast. Dan Frank, because he goes hiding.
Dan Frank, lad. I'm telling you now, we need to start a campaign. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oust him.
Oust Dan.
Yeah. Oust Dan. Who's the Dan Frank in your group?
Yeah.
I'm not joking. If I came back from Japan having holidaying with that lad.
I put it this way, lad.
He'd gone out with my friends.
If I was on holidays with him in Japan, he wouldn't be coming home from Japan.
What, are you going to murder him? That's a bit strong. I just mean, like, no, don't talk
to him. I told you, this round dodging has got to stop. It's got to stop. Also, I love highball being called for, like, is that because they're like top shelf highball? I'm going to use that.
I don't know.
Thank you very much, Anonymous. I'm going to use that. Okay, on kids at weddings.
For us. Go on, Johnny.
Yeah, Neil, can you look that up? Yeah, this is brilliant. Fucking Joe Rogan job here, huh? Look that up there, Neil, boy. Go on. Don't bother, boy. Kids at weddings. Luke emails. Story, lads. A good few years back at my man Dad's wedding, back when I was 4, I went to the wedding in a full suit with a Bob the Builder yellow hard hat, as I was mad for it.
Class.
During the mass, I was left with a family member to mind me in the front row. I was sat there with the big hard hat on and a little scoop the digger tie. I eventually ended up walking up onto the altar while the wedding was on and was playing on the altar with the hard hat and the digger. I'm the reason I believe children shouldn't be at weddings. Have a good one, lads. Up Tip, up riding. From Luke. Oh my God, I love that.
Bye, Lukey, bye. And on strange names, Owen emailed the podcast to say, in my class in school, there was a lad called Henry III. And he had the three lines, like the Roman numerals, after his name. One day in class, we had a substitute teacher in, and she was talking to Henry III. She goes, Henry must be a popular name in your family, so is it? Like, is your father and grandfather called Henry? He replies, no, my parents thought it would be cool to add a bit of extra shit onto my name. You know, he wasn't from a rich, posh and wealthy background and was just your ordinary working class family. Parents, and basically, his parents are basically helping their child to be seen as a freak in school. The world has truly gone mad. Johnny, highballs?
Highballs, yeah. Neil has just come good there for us and we now have a definition of a highball. A highball is a mixed alcoholic drink composed of an alcoholic-based spirit and a larger proportion of a non-alcoholic mixer. Examples include 7 & 7, which I don't know, scotch and soda, a rum and coke. A highball is typically served over ice in a large, straight-sided highball glass or a Collins glass.
So it's a whiskey and a soda?
Yeah, so I assume it's like a whiskey and 7-Up or a rum and coke. Maybe a vodka Red Bull would be considered a highball.
Well, a rum and coke is a Cuba Libre.
Well, I'm going to say a spirit mixed with a mixer is a highball. And that's what I'm now coining the phrase highball. Robbing it from our...
You think it's an umbrella term for all spirits and mixers?
Yeah. Do you want a highball?
I think it's strictly whiskey.
Yeah, I think so too.
We'll come back to this.
It rumbles on. Teachers, hope you're well. Anonymous email here about teachers. Hope you're well and staying safe. Been listening to the podcast flat out for the last 3 months. I've really enjoyed it. It got me through the work from home period. And I have to say, while listening there, and there was very little work going on. Anyway, on the topic of teaching, I was teaching abroad when a student of mine who came up to me and says, sir, there's blood in my hands. I have a cut and it hurts. Can you take a look, please? Ever obliging, I thought, of course, I'll give it a quick inspection and send him to the nurse if it's something serious. I take a hold of two fingers where no blood is present and I'm turning his hand over to see whether or not I can see the source of the cut. I can't. After inspection, I say, I can't see where you could have cut yourself, but yeah, like, there's clearly blood. He explains to me, no, sir, the boys were telling me I needed to shave my bits, so I did that last night and now I can't stop scratching them. Well, the penny drops. I nearly get sick. I run to the staff bathroom and let me tell you, there is not enough soap, bleach and a wire brush in this world to wash away the thought of what had just occurred. Up Tip, up riding. Imagine a student would actually go to a teacher, like, after, obviously he cut his bag or something, did he?
Is he primary or secondary? It must be secondary. You wouldn't have much.
Yeah, you wouldn't be shaving in primary, would you?
You wouldn't have enough to wax. Mispronounced town names. Gavin said, "Well, lads, I'm responding to your road signs conundrum. In Clare, there are multiple signs for Lahinch, spelt Lahinch, L-E instead of L-A, as everyone says it.
Say it.
Lahinch.
Lahinch.
But he's from Lahinch and spells it with an A, and then the road signs say L-E.
Wow.
And then there's signs for Clonlara, and they're spelt Clonlara, C-L-O-O-N, Lara.
Someone from the signs company that do that.
It's Ordnance Survey Boys, isn't it?
Ordnance Survey Boys. You better get in touch. Get in touch with us. Tell us what's going on here.
Step out for belts, lads.
Now, let's talk about a real subject.
Yes.
Something very close to our hearts.
Hashtag save our chicken rolls.
One listener has sent us a picture. Hannon's in County Carlow. You are being called out €5 for a chicken fillet roll. Outrageous! That is incredible.
Alan was in touch to say Spar in Croom. How much, Johnny? €5.
Outrageous!
And Aoife said a certain centra in County Kildare that had me in a queue for 10 minutes and then charged me €6.50 for a roll with no extra toppings. Guess what?
Outrageous! Lads and Mara, I work in Monaghan and this is just too much value not to share. A meal deal in the local Cost Cutters is a chicken fillet roll or a breakfast roll with a can, a packet of crisps for €4.
Yup.
You can get a chicken roll and two toppings with that, I'm pretty sure. Now, that is far from outrageous. It's actually incredible, I would say, Joe. So we've been sent them on this week.
Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen. Big news. Are you ready? Big news.
The chicken fillet roll, Johnny, it's went up a notch. This whole campaign has went up a notch.
Because the two Johnnies are launching our Save Our Chicken Fillet Roll t-shirts. It's got a giant picture of a chicken fillet roll on it. And then it also says
outrageous
on it and the two Johnnies podcast. So if you would like to get your hands on this essential piece of clothing, you can head to the two Johnnies.ie and you'll see the tab there for our merchandise.
And to any of our Patreon subscribers, you get 10% off all merch and the code is there. You'll see that on Patreon as well. But if you buy the t-shirt, right, post a picture online. Use the hashtag save our chicken rolls and let's get this trending, lads. We're bringing down the price to €4. I'm going having a meeting with Simon Harris, whoever it is. I'll throw a couple of headbutts into him if I have to. We're getting chicken rolls down. Now, who's winning the mug?
I have to say I quite like Henry III. Mara, who did you like?
The poor girl who got her tongue destroyed.
Yeah. I tell you what, if she can give an explanation to why a fella likes a dildo rubbed against his willy.
That's a different one.
Is it not?
Yeah.
Do you know what? We're splitting the vote here, lads, because I think she should get. Blow me away.
Okay, but we do need an explanation as to how you manoeuvre a wand on a lad's
Okay, so dildo girl, you are the winner of this week's mug. Please do get in touch and let us know, you know, why.
Yeah, maybe sketches, not photographs.
Yeah, like I really don't want to see your boyfriend's bits. I really don't.
I want like a police, you know, the guy who draws photos. Is this the man? I want that kind of a sketch.
A big veiny willy. No. You know, Superbad where he's driving low.
I know. Now, the weekly roundup. What's been going on? John, we're recording this on Friday and this is the day you were supposed to be getting married.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I'm delighted. Absolutely delighted. It's pissing rain.
Yeah.
It's really windy too. Imagine getting the photos taken. It would have tossed my hair like.
We met a lad earlier on and he was like, you're supposed to be getting married at 29. Ah, oh, Jesus, you're fucking aged. I'm 39. I wouldn't dream of it.
Yeah, it was a strange one. Do you know what? Like, it's gas. I'll touch on it a bit later. But like, girls really, all I'll say for the moment is girls treat a cancelled wedding day very differently to how lads treat it. And I'll talk more about that in my yurt and dirt. But to be honest, on the whole, I'm happy because it's raining and I don't feel as bad. And look, I don't know many lads who are in a rush to get married anyway. So we've put our date back to December. But sure, look,
fingers crossed.
Could be cancelled again. You never know.
I guess the other news, don't forget, send us in your videos of you dancing in your kitchen for our new music video. We've got another week of it. We're going to round up all these sexy videos. And some of the ones we've been getting sent are gas. So thank you very much.
People are very creative.
Yes. Yeah. Just go to our website, twojohnnies.ie, and you can upload the video there. It's easy peasy.
And also, massive thanks to everybody signing up to the Extra podcast on Patreon. It's great crack. We love it. We love having the crack with everyone in there. And you can sign up for €6 a month plus the VAT, and you get double your podcast. Every Thursday, there's a new podcast. We're also on there. Johnny Dunn's Desert Island Discs, stuff like that.
Yeah, this week we got into a row because Smacks found out that I once brought sandwiches on a stag.
This is unacceptable.
Sandwiches on a stag. We're going to Galway, and they did not stop on the way. And as you know, Johnny, I have whatever kind of a stomach and I'm always eating. So I didn't want to be a miserable bastard and I'd be like, oh, everyone stop the bus for me.
Yeah, because Johnny back B then, needs to eat.
There was no service station from Kerry to Galway.
Okay.
So I brought a couple of sandwiches, not a big deal. And I was drinking on the bus and I was great crack. And yeah, I was up for that. I was half cut doing go-karting. But I had a nice full tummy and some nutritious homemade sandwiches.
It's brilliant. Right, back to the meat and two veg. On podcast 25, we discussed whether Ireland had a healthy relationship with alcohol. A lot has changed since then. For instance, currently, if you want a creamy pint, you need to purchase a €9 meal with it. So we're going to tackle the subject again now that we are a little bit older, but probably not much wiser.
Johnny, 100 episodes on, has your attitude to alcohol changed?
I would say my attitude to life has changed a lot in the 2 years.
2 years.
I know, I think 2 years ago, I listened back to this episode as well, just before we went at it again. Such a pro, because I want to know like the wild things I was saying, and I really did glorify drink. Listen, I still love drink. I hope nobody took any advice I said 100 episodes ago, but I love drink, but now I drink a lot less.
Okay.
Because I think 2 years ago, the two Johnnies were starting out, everything was going great. It was such a novelty to going out partying. You were getting invited to these places, and I think we were kind of shocked at, like, oh God, we were invited to this do. Yeah. So I'd go, the drink would be free, I would be fucking langers, and then I'd wake up the next morning and be like, oh my God, what did I do last night? And then the fear would have me for 3 days. So I kind of got to a stage where I was like, am I drinking a bit too much? And obviously I put on around 2 stone from drink. And you see, the problem isn't essentially the drink.
Yeah.
It's the drink and then feeling crap the next day and then trying to make myself happy with a doner kebab meal. And it can be a vicious cycle. Now, I don't want to get too bogged down on the drink because I still love it more than anything.
I would love it.
I do. I love it, but I have definitely drank less. I've definitely drank way less now than I did 2 years ago, 100%.
I think when we started, the old Johnny's got up and running, and the first time people start noticing you and stuff, there was some buzz, and it does take a while to learn how to handle that.
Plus, I think I drank a lot to kind of deal with the attention, because I didn't really feel comfortable with it. I was kind of like, oh, this is weird. I'll get pissed on it. It doesn't feel as bad then. You know what I mean? I'll put it this way. Like, if you come up to me in a pub and I'm langers, I'm in a better humour normally than I am if I'm not drinking. So when I'm drunk, lads, I'm a great person to be around. But I still love drinking. And I'm not one of these people who's like, God, I have a problem. And, you know, I hate the person I become when I'm drinking. I love the person I become when I'm drinking.
What?
Because I'm some crack.
But you're a good crack.
I do things when I'm drinking, lad, that a sober man would never do. Some drunk men probably wouldn't do it either, but I will.
You're a good crack when you're sober.
I am. Thanks, John. But like,
you don't need drink.
Yeah, sometimes I like drink to relax. It does relax me. And I kind of look at drink now more as a reward rather than drinking to kind of escape.
Escape drinking.
Yeah, do you know, like sometimes you'd be like, fucking sick of this now, getting hammered, and then you feel worse. Whereas now I'm kind of like looking forward to a few drinks now, which is, you know, I've got a lot done this week.
I guess there was a time when you were escape drinking.
Oh my God, yeah. To 100%, yeah. That more so pre-two Johnnies, but then probably, like, you know, definitely pre-two Johnnies when I had a job I hated. Yeah, I would get obliterated every weekend and have no money on a Monday morning.
Lockdown. So a lot of people are drinking more during lockdown. Is it the alcohol, like off-license sales are 40% higher than they were last year? Well, obviously, some of that is a straight swap that you're not drinking in the pub, you're drinking
at home.
But it's against the older generation. The likes of our parents' generation, we know a lot of lads, you know, farmers and that, who would have gone to the pub at the weekends. Now the pub is closed and they're saying to us, I haven't had a drink in 2-3 months because they just don't drink at home.
Yeah, drinking at home is something that never really done it for me anyway, period. Like before lockdown or after lockdown, like I wouldn't be one who'd sit down and have six cans like watching The X Factor or anything like that. Like I wouldn't, it wouldn't interest me. I love the pub and I love the crack of going out.
Yeah.
But and I don't really see the benefits, unless you've got a load of friends around and there's really good atmosphere. Atmosphere. That's what I need with my drink. Give me a side of atmosphere with any drink. That's what, like, I don't see, like, let's say, for example, myself and Annie are having a night in watching telly.
Yeah.
We're not cracking up the drink and getting pissed, like.
Well, if you never have one or two.
No, I probably wouldn't bother. The odd night, like, might have one gin and tonic in a nice glass. But, no, generally not. Generally not. Just don't bother.
Do you miss the pub then?
I miss the pub, yeah. I don't, I tell you what I don't miss is raging hangovers and all that kind of stuff. But I miss having a chat with the barman. I miss walking into the pub. I miss talking shit to a lad at 12 o'clock when I've had 7 pints. And, you know, I miss talking scour, actually. That's probably the big thing. I miss meeting people too.
I'll tell you, if this lockdown goes on and Ireland has table service, like table service is fine in France and Spain, but table service just won't cut it in Ireland.
Mm.
Well, like table service won't work at the Flack Hole.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to keep it pucked out.
Ireland will be worse hit by table service than anywhere else in the world.
That is a fact, yeah. It would kill the pub trade in Ireland if table service. Now, you know, the other thing is people said pubs are fucked when the smoking ban came in. But I mean, like that is probably the best thing that's ever happened. We've negated that and I would say pubs have almost improved. But this, I can't see us getting around this. Like, I never thought there'd be a stage in my life where I would miss queuing.
You hate queuing.
I hate queuing, man. That's why I know nearly every barman in every pub I drink in.
Yeah, sorry. Also, American listeners, why do you love queuing?
Yeah.
American people love queuing.
It was funny, just off topic. When we went to America, there was like a massive queue down the street and like we had an Irish lad showing us around and we were like, God, what are they all queuing for? And he was like, that's actually a burrito shop. And he was like, I guarantee you half them don't even know what they're queuing for. they just seen other people queuing and they're like, oh my God, this queue, this must be awesome.
Yeah.
So they'll just queue up nearly to see what it is rather than even know what it is. But back to the drink, yeah.
Like, would you miss the pub or you would be one, you would have a drink at home. Like, you don't say drink is strictly for the pub.
Yeah. When lockdown started, I probably was drinking 4 nights a week as opposed to, like, I definitely have my bottle of wine every Saturday night. So Saturday night I might be going out or Saturday night I might be staying home, but I'll definitely have, like, the bottle of wine. And then at the start of lockdown, I was so bored that I probably upped that to maybe 3 or 4 nights a week. That wasn't good, but I've kind of cut back now to just Saturday night. So
I think at the start of lockdown, sorry, Mark, I think at the start of lockdown, there was a massive novelty to being off work. And there was almost a giddiness across the nation that was like, wow, I can't believe this is happening and I'm off work. Sure, I'll have a few drinks because I'm off work. It's like when you're off school and when you've got no school the next day, you stay up late.
Yeah.
An adult's version of doing that is like, I'll get pissed because it's Tuesday and I can. I don't have to get up on Wednesday. And I think
I'm on my own.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I think for the first couple of weeks of lockdown, that was a massive novelty and everyone done it. I know I done it myself. Like, we were, when we got home from America, we'd not been around home for like basically 3 months. We'd been on the go. So when I got home, I thought it was deadly. For like 4 or 5 nights, I caned it at home. And then I was like, right, this is pointless. This lockdown is going to last a few months and my liver won't. So.
We have just done a full month of not drinking.
Yeah.
Me and you.
Yep. Yep.
Never thought I'd see the day.
I never thought. No. I feel much better. But, like, I'm not going to lie to listeners of this podcast. As soon as we wrap this podcast, we have sourced a can of or a keg of Guinness. And I have we've got a Guinness tap. And I'm probably going to have around 30 pints of Guinness. You know, but I haven't drank in a month. So I'm going to do the Irish thing and binge drink and make my liver suffer. So
I don't know about the meal thing. I have been getting takeaway dinners from the Shamrock, like, but I haven't gone in for a meal yet. I feel like, you know, I don't want the pub to be like my bit on the side.
Yeah.
The pub is important to me.
I'm kind of treating pubs like we are with gigging. I'm not going back
until
it's back to where I left it. You know, I don't want to go into the pub and half arse it. Like this thing in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
90 minutes, lad. Jesus, you would like.
Well, people all around the world, like people in Europe and all, on the way home from work, stop in, have two drinks and a chat and go home.
Yeah, Irish people are different. Like, you can't compare. Like, listen, nobody in the world has a relationship with alcohol like Irish people. They don't. Like, you know, the French will have a glass of wine with their dinner.
Yeah.
And the Italians probably the same, that kind of stuff.
Russians might have vodka for breakfast.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's different cultures, you know? Yeah. Whereas in Ireland, it's like, Jesus, no, I wouldn't have a drink on a school night. But then think nothing of having 40 pints the weekend.
Yeah, we cram.
We binge drink as a nation.
It's like Sunday is a drink exam.
Yeah.
And we have to cram.
Yeah, 100%. But
Irish people, though, are kind of sad.
Mm.
There's kind of a melancholiness to Irish people that can only be cured with drink. I was reading a book by this Jewish lad, and he was saying if a Jewish man is unhappy, he can always fix it. You can talk it out. You know. You get a new girlfriend. You get a new job. You fix things. An Irish person, they'll just have a pint and sing a song and tell a story.
Mm. Yeah,
and they'll be grand.
Yeah, yeah. No, like
there's no reasonable cure to Irishness. Better drinking.
I think a lot of Irish people just feel at home in the pub. You know, like I certainly do. I like when I'm in the pub. I'm like, yeah, second home. No,
yeah, but
problem.
You were in the pub when you were young, like not drinking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where
yeah.
If somebody had never been in a pub before the age of 18, they might feel less at home in a pub.
Who's not been in a pub before they're 18? Like,
what, 17, 16?
No. I mean, like, you know, as a kid, like, surely there's a communion or confirmation you've been in the pub at some stage.
I wouldn't have been in the pub much when I was young.
Like, not even watching a match or when Ireland got to the Euros? Or
small bit, like, not much. Went for dinner into the Shamrock and that, like.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez. You missed out, lad. Great cracker, bacon factory, bacon fries and Luke said every Sunday.
Maura, as you get older, like in 10 years time and all, do you think you will change the way you drink?
More.
Yeah, probably. Well, I imagine I don't know, like my Saturday night bottle of wine is my treat. It's the thing that like, okay, you've ate well all week, you've gone to the gym twice, you meant to go three times but you went twice anyway, so it's like a little reward and I like that little ritual. I wouldn't like to escalate and to go to like three or four nights a week, because then like I find at the beginning of lockdown, Jesus, you would actually just be miserable. It was like no point in drinking because you were still hungover from earlier on, and I was like I can't this is just a vicious cycle. So
Maura,
probably, yeah, but I imagine like when hopefully I do get pregnant and stuff like that, that I'll have to do 9 months sobriety, and that will be interesting. I'll be like, what's going to be my Saturday night treat then? It's like,
and old sup again, it's good for the iron.
Well, do you do either of you ever see a time when you give up drink?
No.
Why?
No, I'd be miserable.
How do you know?
Listen, you know that John B. Keane famous one where the wife's like, I like him to take a drink.
Yeah.
Like, trust me, like in 20 years time, Annie will be like, please go to the pub. You are miserable.
You don't know that. You might get really into canoeing or something.
125 episodes in, that's the funniest thing you've said. No, that there will never come a day. I can't wait to be an old lad in the pub, like, you know, sitting up there after like care play hurling, just going like, you're all fucking useless. Back in my day, you know, when I was playing, like, I want to be that lad. Listen, the only thing that would make me stop was if it turned into a problem. I think that and like ruined my life or my family's life. That would be the only reason. I have no reason to stop now. I have no reason to even think about stopping.
But you never know. If you stop drinking, then you have to fill your time. It forces you.
Yeah, but I like drinking. You're forgetting that. I love it. I love drinking. So like, I'm not giving it up.
I'm just saying.
Listen,
when people do give up drink, just say like you have a heart condition or something. Now, obviously, you would just keep drinking and die. But like, there's people who, like, now that the pubs are closed, have stopped drinking.
Yeah.
And then have filled that time with, like, well, geez, I took up something.
I've no doubt that lockdown has probably, people will have given up drink, yeah. I've heard those stories. And I guess, listen, would I be more productive if I didn't drink at all? Yeah. Would my liver be in a better condition if I didn't drink at all? Yep. Would I be a much healthier person all around? Yeah. But I love the crack, lad.
But sure, there's other ways to have the crack.
I know, but there's not in debates sitting down with 6 or 7 of your friends around the table telling stories, having a few pints together. To me, that's almost as good as sex.
But there's lots of people who do that. Like an older generations before us who would meet up and play cards and tell stories and they drink tea.
Nah, don't even like tea.
I know you don't even like tea. Okay.
just back to the point on the table service and stuff like that. Let's make a prediction now.
Yeah.
Do we think in 5 years' time all the pubs will be table service, or will there be a vaccine found and will we be back to normal?
Oh.
If we were to call it now. So, like, you know, people back in the smoking ban were like, pubs will be closed within 6 months. This won't work. And, like, genius move. Are we going to look like we've got egg on our face? Because I think we're both thinking along the same lines that we don't really like it or think it will last.
Table service, if it keeps going and keeps going, we will go and support the pubs.
Mm.
But I really hope that it's back to the old days.
Yeah.
The bad days.
Yeah. I swear to God, I never thought I'd be pining for queuing for Ryan's.
Yeah, go on, Mara.
I can't imagine in our pub, like, my mother dropping pints down to lads at tables. Like, so say the main trade Monday to Friday is 6 or 7 lads sitting around the counter talking crap, drinking pints. Like, some of them are fairly old and some of them might be hard of hearing. So, you know, and it's a social thing as well. So they're going to find it very, you know, the counter might be only 8 meters long. So, you know, it's going to be awkward for them to socially distance properly and still have a conversation and still hear each other. So, yeah, it's, I don't know, I think we need to figure out a way to just get back to normal as soon as possible. But 100%. Easier said than done, I suppose.
Absolutely. Now we're going to have a quick chat about hangovers, right? What is a hangover? Well, I have been doing some dodgy research and here are some things that I found on the internet. Basically, they reckon that there's a 3-pronged attack to your hangover. Number one, we all know, you're dehydrated. Alcohol is a diuretic, makes you pee. Science, right? So that's why you might feel lightheaded, thirsty, little dizzy. Okay, but there's other things. It can throw the chemicals of your body out of balance, right? That's because it affects your immune system. If you get a cut in your hand and it gets infected, your body like swells and goes red and shit. Or if you get a cold, you can get a fever. That's your immune system. So if you ever wake up, different bits of you are swollen and you're like, what was I doing? Could be your immune system being out of kilter. And the third thing is that they say alcohol, if you drink it quite intensely, it creates a toxin in your body that your body can't process quick enough, which is why young people get hangovers badly, even though they should be much better prepared for it physically than older people. Because a man of 40 who drinks 15 pints is probably doing it over a whole day at a wedding, where a young person is drinking a bottle of vodka in 2 hours.
Yeah.
So their body can't process it as fast. So in order to reduce your hangover, it sounds boring, but drink a little bit slower. You can drink as much. Well, you'd be shagged the next day, but drink a little bit slower. And Johnny Smacks, have you ever had the odd glass of water in between drinks?
No.
You've heard of this?
No, I've heard of it, yeah.
Your mom has probably told you.
Yeah.
They're working on a beer that has electrolytes in it.
So it'd be almost like a Lucozade Sport, vodka and Lucozade Sport. There you go.
Well,
perfect.
In theory, like, that should replace the electrolytes. But obviously, like I said, dehydration is only one of the 3 parts of a hangover.
That
so if you want to get rid of it, you could take, like, do you ever take paracetamol around the next morning?
I would have been a man of Dioralite the next morning.
But that's for rehydrating you and putting the salt back into you.
Yeah.
And stuff, which is
I wouldn't have taken the Panadol, no. I suppose I probably have.
Yeah, geez, you have.
From time to time, yeah.
Obviously having some food in your stomach. So it's not that the food absorbs the drink. It just slows down the processing.
Okay.
So it's not that the spuds are soaking up the Guinness.
Yeah.
It's just slowing it down a bit. I've got some hangover cures from around the world.
Okay.
Real quick, right. In Mexico, next morning, they recommend eating shrimp.
Jesus. The smell of that the next morning would make me a vomit.
In Germany, it's pickled herring. In Japan, pickled plums. In America, the number one hangover go-to is coffee. In China, it's strong green tea. And in Romania, they have tripe soup.
Thought you were going to say more vodka.
More what? A lot of people. Well, they say that hair of the dog doesn't actually cure your hangover. It just dulls your senses.
Delays it.
Yeah. Mm. But a number of popular things like Bloody Mary, Eggs Benedict, these were created as hangover cures.
Wow.
And of course, Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I like.
Did you ever hear that one? Well, Coca-Cola was invented by Lieutenant Colonel John Pembroke. He was a trained pharmacist, and he invented it in Atlanta, Georgia in May 1886 in a bid to wean himself off morphine.
Christ.
He got injured during the American Civil War, and he invented Coca-Cola to try and get himself off morphine.
I would be a fan of an ice-cold Coke now.
Yeah. Now, the Coke they have nowadays, obviously... Yeah, it's very different to the Coca-Cola he was making 100 years ago.
Yeah, we're obviously talking about Coca-Cola here. And because I read somewhere that if you lower your body temperature, that it can help with a hangover. No, that's probably not scientifically proven.
Well, Amy texted in the podcast to say, I used to work for a cold chain company, so I'd spend maybe 5 hours a day in a fridge. This really paid off on a morning when you were worse for wear. 10 minutes with your head against an ice-cold metal table and a can of Coke. Pure magic.
That was the only thing I enjoyed about Iceland.
Sticking your head in the freezer.
Yeah, I assume she works for a similar kind of brand.
Yeah.
They'd be like, you know, on a Sunday morning, they'd be like, go in and clean out the freezer. I used to be like, thank you, God. I'd be inside, dumb and dumber job, nearly licking the walls.
Okay, a few quick ones from the listeners. We've got Lucozade and Johnny Onion Rings. Denise says a chicken fillet roll.
Yeah.
Shay recommends the gym. Did you ever, like, what?
Yeah, no, he's got a point. Getting a sweat on does help.
Denise says more Lucozade. Keane says fruit salad. Fruit apparently is good to get the water into your body.
Yeah. Watermelon.
Quarter pounder and cheese. More Lucozade. A lot of people saying curry chips.
I think that's more a comfort food thing than actually any
next morning.
Like, there's no science in curry chips are going to make your hangover any better.
7-Up in an ice pot. Pat Mac says go to work. That's a good cure. Anto says a big dirty fry. And Nullig says orange juice, ice cold club orange, and a sandwich. And a ride also usually helps. Another listener says
that helps anything.
Iron brew. A lot of Scottish people saying that.
Yeah, Scottish people, yeah.
And Lula says Motilium and ginger ale.
That's a fair concoction. Am I the only one that is suffering more with hangovers? Even 2 years ago. So just to bring it back to the very first question you asked me, do I drink less now? Yeah. Yes, I do. And mainly because even in 2 years, my hangovers have got way worse. We were doing a bit of research on ourselves during the week, and I was like, remember I went in a stag and came home and hurled a hurling match?
Yeah.
Like after a 2 hour journey from Lynch at 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I played a match
yeah.
at 23 and like wasn't that bad. I got through the match after like 2 nights on the stag.
That's the most modest thing you've ever said.
Yeah, sensational. I got 1-7. Anyway, but.
Point being.
I would not be able to even go training now after a night on a drink.
Really?
Impossible. I wouldn't be able to do anything the next day. That's it. Like, wouldn't be able to function.
That's a lot of dead time.
Yeah, I know. I'm really struggling with hangovers lately. If anybody has, like, you know, some sort of a magic pill, I will probably take it.
You're not listening to me here, lad. Fucking shrimp.
Listen.
Shrimp and pickled whatever.
Listen to me, lad. I'm not having pickled herring the next morning.
Tripe soup.
I guarantee you how those cures work is it's like, here's a pickled herring and you smell it and you puke. And then you're like, you know the way you always feel better after puking? That's what it is, lads. So there you go. If our listeners want to get in touch and give us your feedback, I suppose, on drink. Are we looking at a new Ireland? What were the pubs? What's your predictions? Have you been to the pub since lockdown has ended?
How's it feeling?
Yeah, let us know. Get in touch and tell us your hangover cures too. And if anybody is a scientist out there, please find one for me. Okay, we don't know who is older, him or his tractor. All we know is it's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News. It's Noel's News.
How are you doing, fella?
Well, Noel.
You were on the telly again during the week.
Yeah, Comic Relief. Did you watch it?
I did not.
Why?
I know. I was talking about, you were on with the guy from Cork, John Creedon.
Oh, were we on again?
Again.
Oh my God.
Everywhere I looked, that man, he's on the telly, he's in on the radio, he's in Everton by the crib. I swear to God, one day I'm going to look up the crucifix and he'll be on, John Creedon will be on.
I must say that appearance on that show has really paid off for us, because we've been on telly around 100 times.
Well, you can get off it now.
Thanks.
I'm sick of it.
What are you going to do when our new TV show comes out?
Oh, you'd be unbearable. Me too. Scallywags. Now look, I'm in a bit of a hurry.
Okay.
Because I have a dinner date.
Oh.
With Dermot. Oh. We have a table booked in the Shamrock for 90 of the longest minutes town has ever seen. Dan and Patsy, of course, will be in the table across from us. Now, so I'm going to get straight to it this week.
Yep.
And because it's a very sad day for your missus, she's supposed to be getting married to you.
Thank you.
She has luckily ducked out of it. So I'm going to give you a treat, and I have a little quiz for you.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. You know I love quizzes.
So let's get straight to it. Maureen, you can go first, because you're not a degenerate.
Thank you.
So, most of the questions today are about my youngest son, John Paul, which I expect will be a speciality subject amongst all you young women, Maureen. You should have no problem.
Okay.
So, Maureen, first question to you. For what reason did John Paul get barred from the school tour? Was it A, he slapped a penguin at the zoo? Was it B, he shat on the Wellington Monument? Was it C, he snared a duck in St. Stephen's Green? Or was it, what letter, what the next letter?
D.
He went to the Natural History Museum and tried to free the zebra. Maureen.
Probably C, was it, Noel?
Sure. Yes, well done, Maureen. Well, he also, see, on different occasions, he slapped a nun. Or say he slapped, well, he slapped a penguin. It turned out to be a small nun.
Okay.
And you do not want to slap a nun.
No, no.
It's not illegal, but it's definitely frowned upon. But, and then, well, see, we went to the Natural History Museum years later. I got the date wrong for an All-Ireland semi-final. And another time, and you should have heard him. He opened up the big case and he was trying to let the hippo off.
What's he?
Only 6 years of age. Run, you fat fuck, you're shouting at the hippo. Anyway, 6, 7. Maybe he was 19. What am I? Fucking Eddie Hobbs? You got a numbers, lad? Johnny Stacks.
Yes.
Over to you. Mm-hmm. John Paul was wrongly sent off in the under 12 South final. But what did the referee say he did? Was it A, he stuck his finger up another boy's bum? Was it B,
I don't want to leave anyone.
Was it B, he put a mouse in another player's helmet? Was it C, he screamed continuously for 27 minutes claiming to be a banshee? Was it D, he shat in the goal mouth so the goalie wouldn't dive?
Was it D,
it wasn't, it was C, he screamed for 27 minutes proclaiming to be a banshee? Now you take a 65 with a man screaming at you. That will put you off
pretending to be a banshee.
Yeah, and that referee, he never forgave that referee. We saw him one time. We're in Clonmel at traffic lights. John Paul ran him down. Ran him down. He gave him a nice dunt. And he was going to get out. And I said, no. I said, look, you ran him down in the car now. Let that be the end of it.
It was an eye for an eye.
Yeah, I said, look, you're even Steven now.
That's brilliant.
Leave it off. Okay? So they were fair and square after that. Maureen, over to you. Why is John Paul not on the county team? A. The county board are a shower of bastards. B. Because of my breaking and entering into Liam Sheedy's house. C. Anti-Kill Brian bias. D. Is it because he plays junior? Or is it E. He shat in the Cork physio's bag at minor.
I'd say it's all of the above, isn't it?
It is all of the above. 2 pints for Maureen.
Why did she break into Liam Sheedy's house?
So I was giving him the DVD. I made a video of John Paul training.
Oh, yeah, and you had to break in.
Yeah, I left it on his bed.
Of course.
He did not appreciate the personal touch. Now, Johnny Stacks. John Paul is named after which of these notable people? Is it A, Pope John Paul II? Is it B, Carlo Kilkenny TD, John Paul Phelan? Is it C, the French fashion designer, John Paul Gaultier? Gotcha. Or is it D, John Paul Whelan, who used to be sniffing around caramel?
Very good. I'm going to have to say Pope John Paul.
It was Pope John Paul.
Yeah.
I was hoping for a goalkeeper. Pope John Paul, of course, was a goalkeeper in the soccer. Now, 4 down, 2 to go. As Bon Jovi would say, shot through the heart.
I think you're looking
Maura.
For... Maura. We're halfway there.
Maureen, over to you. Listen, now, we're moving on to a local round. Now, you may struggle.
Okay.
Which of the Lunargans has set up a she-bean in the shed? Is it A, Frankie the Boot Lunargan? Is it B, Laces Lunargan? Is it C, Jimmy Shoes Lunargan? Is it D, Paddy Sandals? is it E, Willie Waders Lunargan? Is it F, Freddie Fiplop? Is it G, Gary DeLofer Lunargan? Is it H, Martin Doc Martin Lunargan? Is it I, Davy Slippers? Is it J, Mickey Nike? Is it K, Steve Tocap?
Very good.
Or is it L, their father, Pat the Cobbler Lunargan?
I'm guessing.
Well, is let's it get Patty the question. Slippers?
There was no Paddy Slippers. In fact, there were so many Lunargans, you actually forgot their names, Maureen. I'm going to have to throw it over to Johnny Stacks.
Was it the Boot Lunargan?
It was the Boot Lunargan. Oh, he's back. He's back. He could steal it here, Maureen. He could steal it here. Johnny Stacks. Who got a new job during the week? Was it A, Kate Ryan in Starbucks Cafe? Was it B, did Paddy Fong get a job delivering for the Shamrock? Was it C, Touchy Cleary got a job in the Piggery? Or was it D, the Crab Clancy and Usher at Mass?
Was it the Crab Clancy?
It was the crab and Johnny Stacks for the win. The crab, as they call him, because when he stands on the back of mass, he moves sideways. He moves left to right along the back wall trying to get out the door. But Sherfong is still busy.
Is he?
He's doing the illegal taxi. Never mind the Hackney license. He has no tax, no insurance. He's an ad up on Facebook. He's got an ad on Facebook saying, "Just call Fong." Just call. Wahup, wahup. His catchphrase.
Genius marketing.
Yeah. Your new job would be tough now. I remember a time I was over in London and I got a job in a bar. Hmm. And I couldn't remember all the lies I told him when I was applying. And they said, "Noel, there's the taps, there's the whiskey, you know the drill. You know the drill." I said, "No, I don't know the drill. I just started here. I never met the drill." Who's the drill? There was a fella, a big lad sitting there at the bar. I thought he was like the Drill Murphy. Tango man. I was like, "Hello, Drill, I'm Noel."
He didn't like that, either.
He didn't, no, but I kept calling him the drill anyway. that's the crack for now.
Thank you. That's you. You've graced us with a quiz. You know I love quizzes.
Yeah, there you go. And I am off now for a few creamy ones.
Yeah, are you going to call out? I'm after getting the tap.
I certainly am going nowhere near your place. We're like the turtles.
Yeah.
Noel, Dermot, Patsy, and Dan.
The old age ninja turtles.
Yeah, we'd bait any turtle by. No bother.
Oh my God, it's brilliant.
Okay.
Thank you, Noel. See you next week.
Good luck.
All right, Paul Mescal has now blocked her on Instagram after she spammed his inbox with DMs. Maura, what is your mystery topic this week?
Okay, my mystery topic this week is a question. Do lads play games when it comes to texting? Holding off, texting you back, so appearing not to appear too keen. Because there's this American podcast that I like. It's called Call Her Daddy. And Yvonne, who presents that, her name's Alexandra Cooper. She was saying that she thinks that guys, they either like you or they don't. If they want to, if they're interested in you, they will text you. And if they're not interested, they won't text you. And I kind of disagreed with that. I kind of thought, Irish lads are a bit, you know, they like playing it cool.
Ooh. I would have to say I agree with your one. Did you ever see that movie? He's Just Not That Into You.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it is that simple. That if a lad is dragging his heels before you're even going out, what would he be like?
Yeah.
Jesus,
a couple of years down the line. I think if a lad really wants it, he'll go out and get it.
Yeah. I think on that, I don't know, in my experience anyway, like if you're texting someone in and you like them, it takes some really cool, suave fella to be like, "I'll text her back there in a while. Don't want to seem too keen." Like, I'd be on the phone straight away. Before she'd have even replied to me, I'd probably send her another text message. Just be like, "I just sent that again there. Wasn't sure if you got it." Like, that's the kind of fella I was. You know what I mean? It's like, "Well, watch that," and then no reply. And I'd be like, "Message mustn't have sent." Send it again, well, watch that. And then it's like, "Oh yeah, God, he's a loser." But
and you don't have to be, I understand that lads might be like, I won't like, but it's the same. If you're texting a young one and she leaves you unseen and then like texts back the next day, you'd be starting to be wondering,
is she bothered at all?
Is she playing a game here? Or what's the crack?
I have no doubt, Maura, that there are lads out there who are like skilled technicians in the game of texting, WhatsApp, DMing, etc. Who are like, like, you know, they probably have their own routine to it. I'll text her now and then, you know, I'll leave her sweat a bit there. But I think most genuine men, if they're into you, they'll reply immediately. If they're not. Now, look, you know, the gas thing is, I know from chatting to some of my friends as well who are single, is like, you're sitting at home waiting for the phone to go off. And it can be like, they're obviously not into me. Like, you know what I mean? It's been 6 minutes now and they haven't replied. You know, people do lead busy lives, you know, so getting an immediate text back. But the WhatsApp, the thing, if it's a text message, right, that's the one thing you can be like, "Jeez, I actually wasn't near my phone or didn't see it." On WhatsApp, you can't dance it, lads. If you're online,
yeah,
and like they haven't seen your WhatsApp. Now, my excuse to this is, for anyone who's ever texted me, is like, We get a lot of messages. Yeah. All right. That's why I'm not replying to you. It's not ignorance. But people will often do that. Like, just leave it and be like, I'm not going into it.
Yeah.
But if they leave you unseen, you're screwed.
If you're playing games with each other that early on,
yeah,
I think it's a bad sign. But then I do understand there's a nuance to it. Well, Mara, what do you think?
I think lads do, but I just don't think women are that aware. Like, if they, fair enough, if they're genuinely serious about you and they are looking for a relationship, but some lads, they mightn't text you till a Saturday evening, and it's kind of like they're just doing a scoping out text to see, are you out later? You know, how much are you drinking? Maybe get the leg over kind of thing. So, and girls misread that as him being into them, but he's not into you. He's into you for one thing and one thing only. So
he wants to get into you. That's a booty call. But I tell you where this etiquette is really interesting is in like the Snapchat, Instagram world. There's almost an etiquette to that. Like, you know, I hear some of our single friends saying like, oh, I'll follow her, and then if she likes my photo, then that kind of means she likes me, and then I'll like one of her photos, and then she'll put up a story, and then I'll reply to it, and then that's how we start the conversation. There is some tacticians of that out there on Instagram, I can show you that. And then the general one that I hear lately now that's taken off is the picture of the drink. Let's say a lad is out with his mates or whatever, they're having a few drinks at home, and then he sends on a picture of like the bottle. You know what I mean? So like, you know, a Corona bottle in your hand and just been like, just having a few at home. That is fishing. You're reeling out your net.
Yeah.
You're reeling out your rod, and then you're waiting for someone to reply. You'll be like, oh, you having a few, yeah. And then bang, you're into a conversation. That is, a lot of general Snapchats like that, if you receive, they're casting out the line and they're waiting for you to bite.
But there's one guy who's always sending me pictures of his drink, and I'm just like, he's an alcoholic, because that's all he sends me.
No, we mean more the story. There have been times when, like, if I saw a girl and I was like, oh, I would like to get chatting to her. And then you'd be just waiting, for God's sake, will she just post something on her story so I can reply?
Yeah. They post a picture of the dog. You're like, lovely dog.
Yeah.
Straight away. That sandwich looks nice. That sandwich that you put up looks nice.
And so that would be my advice to single people, maybe, is like, you know, post something on your story the odd time. That opens the door for people to reply to.
Yeah.
Because go on.
Just because a guy looks at, this goes back into the playing games thing, and women, I'm kind of going back on myself a little bit, but women think that, oh, and I'm guilty of this as well. If a guy looks at your story constantly, that he likes you, and that's not necessarily the case. He A, is probably nosy, and B, just has nothing better to do than spend his whole time on Instagram.
I would probably say, geez, I look at a lot of people's stories now, and a lot of them I don't fancy them, I have to say.
Yeah, but if it's somebody that there's been a little bit of will we, want me, and then they keep looking at your story, lads can be indecisive too.
Yeah.
And I don't think we should stand for anyone's shit. If they want you, grow a pair and text someone and then ask them out.
Yeah, I tell you more. Yeah, to finish off the topic, I'll echo what Johnny says. If there's anybody single out there, quit the games, lads. Life's too short. Look at what the coronavirus has done here now. This has made everybody put their life into perspective. If you want something, go out and get it. Mm. Don't mind playing the games.
Just two hands on the ball.
Be straight and ask them. That's the best way to do it. Listen, as a man once said, all they can say is no.
Yeah.
All they can say is no.
And block you.
And block you and tell all your friends that you're an absolute loser. Yeah, but all like, they can say we got is over no. Yeah, you know what I mean? Johnny's recovered fully from it. Maura, I really enjoyed that topic.
Cheers.
Fair play. Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. And you can use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number Two Johnnies Pod. And you can message us on Instagram, on Facebook, the whole lot. And you can also email us at podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie with any correspondence or future topics that you want discussed. So get in touch, the whole lot. And don't forget to sign up to our Patreon, download the app, and double your podcast dose. Now, we're going to end the podcast as we traditionally do with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the Week. This is where we give our highlights and lowlights. John Bernard, kick us off.
Well, on the topic of places and names, I have discovered that people from Tip say they're from Tip.
Mm-hmm.
People from Limerick say they're from Limerick.
Yeah.
People from Skibbereen, Clonakilty say, where are you from? West Cork.
All right. That's right up there with Mullingar.
Yeah, if you meet somebody in Dublin from Mullingar, they'll never say they're from Westmeath. They say they're from Mullingar. Yeah. Like if we were in Dublin and met someone from Clonmel, they'd say, I'm from Tip.
Yeah.
But people from West Cork, she's from West Cork. They don't say Cork.
Okay.
They totally see themselves as the 33rd county of Ireland.
West Cork.
West Cork.
Well, Mullingar, they have some explaining to do. Can I start with my dirt?
Do it.
So as I was saying,
do it to me.
So I was saying earlier on, like, you know, how fellas treat, like, you know, so we were meant to have our wedding today, and fellas don't care.
You and Annie, not me and you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Our wedding's not
obviously. And fellas don't give a shit. So I got woken up this morning, Annie had a load of messages on her phone, then the door went, there was flowers, then 20 minutes, like one of her friends had gotten her a bouquet of flowers, then there was a hamper that arrived out, and all the cards were like, to Annie, so sorry your wedding was called off. I was like, sound. Where are my presents? She got a hamper. She got two bouquets of flowers. She got a wedding cake. She got something else. And then a video of all her friends saying like, oh, so sorry the wedding was called off. Just no one got me nothing. I was going around the house. I was like, the postman must have got my stuff.
I got you a keg of Guinness.
Yeah. I appreciate that, John. Yeah. I'm just talking about, like, you know, the rest, everyone else.
It's true, yeah.
Girls really, oh, they're such a fuss, like, and oh my God. Yeah, and fellas are like, I don't give a shit. Aren't you lucky it was cancelled? You know what I mean? Lads are like, run.
Max is in extra time.
Yeah, I just thought it was gas, and yeah, you know.
That is gas.
They could have put me name in the card, lad. Do you know what I mean? I'm at least 50% of this wedding. Maybe 40.
Annie, sorry, your wedding was called off.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, she was marrying some degenerate.
Marrying the dog.
Oh, yeah, hit me right in the fields, bro.
Solo
right,
event.
Right in the fields.
Just a quick note to say, obviously last month was Pride, and we didn't do anything about it. We meant to, and then you know how we are. Things got away from us, and we didn't get the guests.
I'll join you on that being my yurt.
Just saying, like, it's just become so normal now that it kind of passed without much of a hullabaloo. Which, in a way, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of been normalized. Yeah.
So I'm glad that there was. This year, like, because of lockdown, that there was no idiots going out doing the ridiculous protests, giving gay people shit, like, so.
Yeah, yeah. Happy Pride to everyone.
Yeah. Like, if you said to me you were gay, I'd be like, yeah, no bother. Obviously, kind of always suspected. But, like, it's become...
Yeah, it's the way it should be.
Totally normal.
Exactly, exactly. Bring it back to what I said a couple of weeks ago. Everybody love everybody.
Everybody love everybody. ELE.
Yeah, so happy Pride to everyone
happy
out there.
Happy Pride, lads.
We're off to drink a keg of Guinness. So from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll see you next week, same time, same channel. Thanks for getting me a keg of Guinness, lads. Let's go. See you later. Good luck.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.